I memorize every line. And I kiss the name that you sign. And darling, then I read again right from the start. Love letters straight from your
talked to you last week. You had just been manhandled rather roughly, and certain other unpleasant circumstances came into your life, and you said if any more of these negative forces impinged upon you, it would cost Washington at least $40 billion.
All right, can I clarify this?
Yes.
All right, what I said is that not only was forces moving in on my time, my space, and my energy, but when in my appeal to the proper authorities, I was put down from the other direction. And then at one point, because I was excited, they said they didn't like my attitude. And so I said, my attitude? And I said, well, if there's nothing, if I can't get response from the sheriff's department to help me, as has been happening with a lot of people, then what I would do is take it higher. And of course, the statement I told you is that if I had to take it higher, in my own way, I have a chessboard of my own. And if I had to make four moves, that those four moves would move on the world chessboard. Because if I have to make, I am enough of a master that if I have to make master moves to save myself, I at the same time make those moves on all of those other boards. And it's all done at one time. And I had to make four moves.
Did you make those moves?
Yes, I had to. In each one, in each case. I mean, even in relation to authorities and the things that it took. And as a matter of fact, well, there's a long story of what happened to me personally in terms of having to sleep in my car, sleep in other places. And the final thing is, my dog was missing, and apparently dog-napped by one of these characters who had dog-napped the dog and took it to Texas last year in order to upset somebody. And so far, that's all we can figure. You remember little old Claire? She's 15 years old?
Yes.
She has apparently been taken to Northern California. Now, if I have to go all the way through the legal channels and everything on that, then that's another move, and it will have its... Now, you know that I do the I Ching for myself.
Yes.
And I have extraordinary results. It's something that may be effective for some people, but because I can utilize this to clarify my own circuits, I did an I Ching tonight because I knew I was going to talk to you. We talked earlier and you said you were going to call.
Okay.
All right, what I came up with, and this is my statement.
And this is the night of the destruction of the space shuttle Challenger.
Yeah, this I did this at 8:45 p.m. January 28, 1985. The question is, information in connection with what has gone before, present time and future, and that includes all the chessboards. Okay, that is particularly for myself, of course, but it also goes into all the chessboards. Now, here's what it is. Gathering together, assembling. Success. The king approaches. The temple... It is advisable to see a great man, which will assure success. It says, fulfilling filial duties and devote himself to public prosperity. Putting things right. Assure success, persistence in a right course brings rewards. Our actions accord with heaven's will. Great sacrifices are offered. These are religious sacrifices, but they may be taken to mean that the time has come for us to make important sacrifices of another sort. Good fortune. It is favorable to have in view some goal or destination. This hexagram implies assembling. Willing acceptance is conjoined with joy. Propitious circumstances for us. We need not hesitate to advance. By observing what each gathers to itself, it is possible to understand the inner nature of all things in heaven and earth. Marshy Lake, rising above the earth. The superior man gathers together his weapons in order to provide against the unforeseen. This is a time when foresight is required of us, too. A mournful gathering. This is directly out of the book.
Yes.
It would seem that there is no objective which would seem favorable, yet to advance would involve no error, only slight regret. Obviously, we had better not advance now unless our reasons for doing so are so important that we are willing to suffer a certain amount of regret. And then advancing.
Stay as sweet as you are. Don't let a thing ever change you. Stay as sweet as you are. Don't let a soul rearrange you. Don't ever lose all the charm you possess. Your loveliness, darling, the way you say yes. Stay as sweet as you are, discreet as you are. You're divine, dear. Stay as grand as you are. And as you are, tell me that you're mine, dear. Young and gay are old and gray. Near to me are afar. Night and day I pray that you'll always stay as sweet as you are. Young and gay are old and gray. Near to me are afar. Night and day I pray that you'll always stay as sweet as you are.
Good afternoon, I'm Jane Houghton, and this is Barometer on Q107. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked to Craig Silver of Alternative Media Magazine, and we were talking about the FBI files that were kept on some of the rock stars. He was able to get his hands on some of the information through the Freedom of Information Act about rock stars who had died. And it was his suggestion that a lot of performers like Jim Morris and Jimi Hendrix, the Fugs and Janis Joplin were followed by the FBI and thought to be subversive characters. Well, there's another woman by the name of Mae Brussel, who is called the Queen of Conspiracy, and that is one of the topics which she has also been looking into. Mae, I think before we get into this whole rock idea, let's first talk about this conspiracy thing that you are into. Why are you called the Queen of Conspiracy?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I started studying the John Kennedy assassination as soon as Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered in 1963. That was November 24th, mm-hmm. when he was murdered. And I realized as I got into the conspiracy story that it was bigger than we were told by our police department, justice department, president of the United States, and all authorities assigned to investigate the case, because every one of Lee Harvey Oswald's contacts was with Nazi, known Nazi criminals, members of the Defense Department, of the top security of Division 5 of the FBI, and so forth. So then I realized that while I studied who killed John Kennedy, this was a much grander story, because the news media was covering it up, the New York Times was covering it, the major news media also was involved. So I began to study the history of the Cold War, the conflicts of Richard Nixon and how he came to power, his links to Nikolai Meloxi and the Iron Guard, the Nazi organizations. And what happened was that I began to study history preceding the assassination, and then kept it up for the 17 years since, into different facets of our society, just like these mass killings of the blacks. I had a radio show, I had my weekly radio show several weeks ago, and referred to the program as Open Hunting Season Against Blacks. And then all these stories broke out about Buffalo and Indiana and Salt Lake City and Atlanta, Georgia. This is going on all over the country, just as the rock musicians were dying. But after you study the map and the people, you become more aggressive in pinpointing a lot of information and adding it up. And I guess the answer to why I am given that title by some people is that I'm not linear. I don't study one subject, such as just John Kennedy. It goes into killing musicians. It goes into killing Indian leaders or black leaders or civil rights leaders. It isn't a single murder. It's a social fabric.
Do you find that each of the conspiracies seem to be overlapping?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Let's focus on the rock industry just for the moment, and then on either in this interview or on subsequent ones, we'll get into some of the other controversies, which I know you're working on. When I talked to Craig Silver, he had gotten a hold of some of the files on the rock stars through the Freedom of Information Act. And from what I understand, he was able to get them because they're dead. You can't get them on people that are living. The people
Craig Silver living in Toronto?
No, he's an American.
Oh. Okay. Later, I would like to get his address and get this information from him.
Oh, okay. Tell me about your interest in the rock stars.
Well, my interest in the rock stars came from being really in the lap of the rock revolution. I live in Carmel, California, and in 1967 was the year of the Monterey Pop. Jimi Hendrix, Otis Redding, Janis Joplin were all here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a center of great festivity and happiness. There wasn't anything violent about the rock people. And I camped down at Big Sur, which is just 20 miles from my house, but we like to camp down there. And the whole San Francisco West Coast was children dropping out from society, coming from the east to Haight-Ashbury and up and down California, leaving society and dropping out. They not only protested Vietnam, they protested credit cards, excess of gasoline, pollution, regimentation. A lot of society's revolutions were going on simultaneously with the anti-war.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew many of these people. I'd pick up hitchhikers on the road, and they'd stay at the house, and I attended every concert of Monterey Pop. And I knew people in San Francisco that worked at the Diggers that helped the hippies. And they said, someone's coming in and bringing what was supposed to be LSD and poisoning them. They're going crazy, or they're killing each other. And there became a counter-revolution of peace people versus infiltration. And it was very obvious that somebody was going after the Monterey Pop, was going to go after the young people because they were protesting.
And they felt the who was doing this? The FBI or who?
Well, they felt that the FBI, and later this was documented. I have the documents from the FBI and the important Operation Chaos. Later, at the time of Watergate, the documents came out from the Senate hearings. And I have their exact wording that we have to get people, as I investigated it, they said we not only have to go to the anti-war, but we have to get people who are dropping out of society. The wording they used was to get, this is the hearings in 1968, they said Operation Chaos has to include, in counterintelligence, in quotes, advocates of new lifestyles, the new left, apostles of nonviolence, and restless youth. Now, the FBI, under my interpretation, is supposed to go after criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to go after nonviolent people or apostles of nonviolent or advocates of new lifestyles. That is, if you wear your hair long, or you wear a long dress, or you wear barefoot sandals, or you hitchhike and don't consume energy, I didn't think that was the job of the FBI to begin surveying you and sending letters to families to say that they're living with black people and racism and living in sin and so forth. They began what they called Operation Chaos, which was documented in the 70s, what I saw happening in 68 and 65.
Hmm. Now, why do you think that they were so threatened by the rock stars in particular?
Well, I could... Do you have 5 hours? Why do I think they're threatened? I'll give you just one quotation of Mick Jagger in 1967. This is what he said. This is a quote. "I see a great deal of danger in the air. Teenagers are not screaming over pop music anymore. They're screaming for deeper reasons. We're only serving as a means of giving them an outlet. Pop music is just a superficial issue. When I'm on the stage, I sense that the teenagers are trying to communicate me like telepathy, a message of urgency, not about me or my music, but about the world and the way they live. I interpret it as their demonstration against society and its sick attitudes. Teenagers the world over are weary of being pushed around by half-witted politicians who attempt to dominate their way of thinking and set a code for their living. This is a protest against the system, and I see a lot of trouble coming in the dawn."
Hmm.
That was Mick Jagger in 1967. And then the CIA sent to England a man known to be from the CIA to Mick Jagger's home and poisoned Brian Jones, and he was recognized. His name was Henry Schneiderman, who had an American and Canadian passport, who went to London with a suitcase full of heroin and pills and acid and every known chemical, according to Tony Scardito, the author of the book Mick Jagger, and began drugging them until Brian had a perfectly, completely personality change and died.
hottest new bands, even hotter old bands. On CKLN 88.1 FM, kill them all!
...92.3 WXRK, New York's classic rock and roll radio. It's K-Rock. Back to Howard.
So here, looking up, you know, I'm admiring, for example, the man has remained thin for a long time. How do you stay so thin, Frank?
It's my diet.
Is it really? What do you eat?
Coffee and cigarettes.
No, really, what do you eat?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
You don't eat any health food or anything?
No.
You were mentioning tricks
take
earlier.
Vitamins?
No.
How the hell does everyone do
it? I don't know.
See, I should never have given up smoking cigarettes.
Maybe that's
it. Did you stop smoking?
Yeah, I was smoking two packs a day, and I loved it.
How come?
Someone told me it was bad for me, and I bought the whole thing.
Yeah, well, Frank, why do you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, that's
I like them.
Aren't you nervous about dropping dead?
This is America. You can die from anything in this country.
You gotta be a pretty brave man smoking those cigarettes.
Yeah.
I think Frank thinks it's all a bunch of crap and thinks it's a plot by the U.S. government.
Some theory about how, you know, somebody was behind this.
Is that whole cancer thing a plot by the U.S. government?
Probably not.
Yeah. Frank,
I'm surprised he hasn't said anything about AIDS, you know, and how that was started by, you know,
how
some
was AIDS started,
testing.
Frank?
Came out of a laboratory.
Get out of here.
There's an agreement.
Get out of here.
I mean, you know, how many people listen to
the
show?
I'll put up with that from Frank, but not from you, moron. I'll tell you.
It's out of a laboratory. No question in my mind.
Here's my theory, okay?
Okay.
Want to know how the AIDS got started? You tell me if I'm off track, okay?
Okay.
And I am dead serious. I didn't make this up. And you know, by the way, Robin and I have been researching in our basement for the last 3 years.
We're looking for the cure.
For the cure. We are very close to a discovery. I wasn't going to say anything. Jerry Lewis is close to his muscular dystrophy cure.
He's been close for several years, though.
Yeah, but we are almost right on top of it. The problem is we can't get the rats into the ballet slippers. Have you ever tried to have sex with a rat?
Well,
I have been at it for like a year now.
Well, we need some rats with AIDS.
Yeah, so I'm trying to inject them with my lethal sperm. But those damn things don't hold still, those rats.
It must take some special equipment to be able to do that.
It's very lethal. But I'll tell you, well, I do have special equipment. But anyway, Robin is in charge of decorating the cages for the rats, by the way. It's very beautiful. Here's my theory on AIDS.
Okay.
If I may.
Yeah.
What happened is, monkeys in Africa had AIDS, as you all know.
Now, where they got it from, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Hmm.
Regular Americans went over and, excuse me, let me back up.
You're skipping a few steps.
For years, the homosexual community had been taking hemoglobin shots because they're...
Gamma-globulin.
Gamma... whose theory is this, Robin?
I'm just reminding you of your
Frank,
own theory.
Are you buying this so far?
I'm not even renting it yet.
Now, listen to this. I'm serious.
I'm
I read
waiting.
This.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
I read this. No, there's no punchline in this. This is dead serious.
Yeah.
The gay community, because you say yourself, well, why did the gays get AIDS? Why not some other, you know, section of... Well, actually, God is punishing them, but it's a whole different thing. But that's what the Pope says, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Let me just say what happened here.
Okay.
The hemoglobin shots.
Gamma globulin.
Globulin shots. It's a blood product. The gays needed blood because they were afraid of getting hepatitis. You following this?
Yeah.
Where are they going to get blood from? They can't get it from Americans. No one's going to put up with that. They went to Africa and got blood from Africans. Meanwhile, Africans were having sex with monkeys, and there was AIDS there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So enter the AIDS virus into the gays in their new blood shots to keep away hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
Then, using Vaseline products to have sex with other men, the Vaseline carries the AIDS into the bloodstream of the gays because it protects the AIDS virus, and the Vaseline breaks down the immune system in gays, therefore carrying the AIDS virus into other gays, therefore causing the AIDS epidemic. Or then you could take the other theory that the monkeys caught the AIDS from a long vacation in Key West. This is totally possible. Frank, are you buying any of that?
No.
What are you saying happened?
Somebody built it on purpose.
Frank.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
Frank, do you realize what you just said?
The truth.
Do you realize what you just said?
No. What did I just say? Somebody made it on purpose.
Who was responsible for it? Is his name Fred Norris? Because he's here in the room. Who did it? Who would do such a thing? Who would do that? Who would do it?
That I couldn't tell you, but it seems to me that something that suddenly appears out of nowhere and kills 700 people in the month of November in the United States is not a natural occurrence.
Hmm. He's got an argument there.
Really? Really?
Yeah, or to put it more bluntly, who's pluking the monkeys?
Yeah, who is pluking the monkeys? No, I got to tell you something. It's always marvelous to have you guys here, Kevin Cronin, of course, Frank Zappa. I see that Bobcat Goldthwait is here. Let me take a break. We'll introduce him to the audience. Kevin, yeah. You still hanging with us? You're into it, or you got to go?
I got to go.
You do?
But I'd love to stay if I could.
Where are you going? Where the hell are you going, Kevin?
I'm going to a place called Madame Wong's.
He's looking for a date.
Looking for a date?
He's finally made that decision.
I think it was Madame Wong who invented the age fire. Is it possible? I saw Charlie Chan is after her.
No, I'm... Madame Wong's massage parlor.
You know something? I think I'm agreeing with Frank on this. I'm thinking that there could have been a plot by somebody, like the Russians.
Now you're changing your theory? We've been working under the premise that it's the gamma globulin for about 2 years now, Howard.
I have a theory.
Okay.
It was some guy in San Francisco who was watching his real estate plummet, and he caused this plague in order to buy up all the real estate.
You think so?
Okay.
I don't think so.
Kevin, so you're going to Madame Wong's with the Chinese jinx tonight?
No, this is a rock and roll type of an establishment.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, rock and roll bands. And you gotta come over there later.
Who's going to be hanging out
there? I don't know, some group called Secret Life.
Oh, them?
Yeah.
Didn't they invent the AIDS virus?
Maybe their manager.
All right, so I want to thank Kevin Cronin. Frank, can you hang in there with us in the podcast?
Sure.
Yeah? It's okay? All right, let me first talk about... I want to thank Kevin Cronin for coming in.
Thank you.
Kevin, by the way, you have a beautiful head of hair.
Howard.
Frank has a beautiful day head of hair. Day, have any of you guys heard about Daniel Rogers?
Alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round.
Furry Link, the fool on the hill. We're coming into the final turn now. Furry Link's identity quest, looking for a body mind perception. Furry Link, a man looking for perspective. No, he's a woman. He's discarded.